The context of, as we said, this morning's passage is that Jesus was at another dinner party in a Pharisee's house. Jesus went to a lot of dinner parties. When we read through the Gospels, particularly Luke's Gospel, he spends a lot of time in people's houses eating. And at that meal, Jesus noticed how the people who had gathered were vying for position of honor. They were all trying to sit at the top table. And Jesus warned them, guys, you've got to be careful. Don't do this. Because on a very practical level, if you position yourself at the top table, or if you sort of squeeze in beside the guest of honor, and then the host has to come and have a word in your ear, and you have to move, you're going to look foolish. You're going to look as though you're something of a glory hunter. And I don't know, maybe that's why Presbyterians always sit at the back. They're frightened of being moved from the front. But it wasn't only the guests that Jesus issued a warning to. As he looked around the room, he turned to his host and he said, do you know what? Don't just invite your friends to dinner. Go and invite the poor. Go and invite the people who never get an invite. Honor them by bringing them into your home. Don't make your home just a place for the great and the good. Honor everyone. And Jesus likened that banquet, or that idea of a banquet where everybody came and everybody was equal, as being like the heavenly banquet, that banquet we all look forward to when actually Jesus returns and takes his people to glory to be with him. And at the mention of that heavenly banquet, someone shouted out, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. Verse 15. Now remember, this is a dinner at the Pharisee's house. It was likely filled with fellow Pharisees, or at least like-minded people. And it's reasonable to deduce that whoever shouted out in this way, that actually they believed that simply being a Pharisee, simply by being a Jew, a descendant of Abraham, that actually was enough to qualify them to that wonderful heavenly banquet, that their invitation was secure simply because of who they are. Amen, Rabbi. Won't it be great when we all sit, not just at this table, but at that table? But you know, it's always dangerous to make such bold claims in Jesus' company, because he had an uncanny knack of coming back with a withering reply. And in this case, it came in the shape of a story about a great feast. And in the story, the invitations were sent out, but nobody came. Excuses were offered. It was as though the people who had been invited, that actually they took their place for granted. I can't make it today. I have something else on. But you know, there'd be other banquets. There'd be other opportunities. I'll get another invite and sure, it'll be all grand. If we're honest, the Presbyterian Church, and not just the Presbyterian Church, but actually the established church in general, can sometimes have a bit of that attitude about it. There's a sense that because we have a church connection, because we belong to this wonderful Presbyterian family, that somehow that qualifies us for that eternal banquet. And maybe this is why there are so many members of the Presbyterian Church, and I'm assuming Ballywillan is no different to anywhere else, who are happy to be associated with the church. But like those invited to the meal that Jesus talked about, they offer one excuse after another in order not to come. It's a day for the family, a day to watch kids play sport. Maybe you don't like the minister, although I'm sure Stephen is absolutely wonderful. Maybe you don't like the music, although I think it's been great. Maybe you just want to relax. Maybe after COVID, you're just out of the habit. And actually, whenever the discussion goes a little deeper, there's a sense that actually it's not just that we're not coming. There's a sense that our insurance is paid up, either because we've kept our financial contributions up to date, or because there's a long family association with the church. And so, do you know, we're bound to be invited. We're bound to be asked to sit around God's heavenly table. Now, the irony is not lost on me that I'm preaching to the converted this morning, because you're the folks who are here, and I thank you for that. You haven't made an excuse. But if this is how we think, then we need to take note of what Jesus actually said. He said to the people who constantly turned down his invitation, "For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet." Verse 24. Folks, we need to be careful not to be presumptuous or to take our salvation for granted. Salvation is a gift of grace received when we accept Jesus' invitation to trust him. To put ourselves in a place where we harden our hearts to his voice, or where we close our ears to his challenge, that's not the place we want to be. And actually, one of the signs that we've begun to take Jesus for granted, or that we're in danger of taking Jesus for granted, is the fact that we've become lax in our church attendance. We no longer see being with God's people as a priority. Worshipping together isn't as important as it once was. And this is why church and church attendance is so important. Now, I want to be really clear. I am not for one minute suggesting that coming to church is the means by which we are saved. It is not. It is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But it is one of the ways in which God holds us close to him. And so, as I've already said, and I'm very much aware I am preaching to the converted, because you're the people who are here. You're the people who have taken seriously God's invitation, or at least I hope you've taken seriously God's invitation. But what does this passage have to say to us? Quite clearly, it's saying to the people who are not here, think carefully. But what's it saying to us? Well, we're being told not to simply sit and lament those who don't come. We're not being asked to sit and look at empty pews. Although, in fairness, there's not very many empty pews here this morning. The reality is that for many, it has been so long since they have been here that it is very unlikely if they will ever be back. Now, that's not to say that they're not welcome. Of course they are. But we know how many invitations have already been extended, and one excuse after another has been offered. And so our role is to go a little further. And it's to begin to invite people who maybe have had no church connection at all. Take just a moment to notice who the master invited to the banquet after he was told all his original invites had been turned down. In verse 21, he said, "Invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." Now, this wasn't a trawl of the local hospital. It was an invitation to those that society had cast aside, the forgotten and the unloved. Sometimes I wonder if our traditions get in the way of how we reach out. And I wonder, for example, and it is just an example, if the tradition of getting dressed up, the whole idea of our Sunday best, has become more of a hindrance to our mission. The reality is we now live in a very sharply divided society between the haves and the have-nots. Good clothes are expensive, and for some people they're beyond reach. Are the poor, the folks who rely on food banks, on social security payments, on community goodwill, are they a forgotten group of people as far as the church is concerned? Now, that's not a criticism of how you look. I'm sure you all look lovely, and trust me, I am not a fashion guru. I needed to ask Stephen what I should wear in order to fit in, so don't look to me for fashion. But what I think Scripture is telling us is that we need to make more of an effort to extend an invitation to those people who, for whatever reason, feel as though they may not fit in or might not be welcome in church. And it goes beyond poverty. It's about social groups, such as those who identify as LGBTQ, or those who identify as atheist, or who might nominally hold to another faith, although they would rarely, if ever, go anywhere. It is being aware of the lonely, those who struggle with mental illness. There are loads of groups of people who, for whatever reason, might not think that they are welcome or that they would fit in church, or that church would be a place for them. And Christ is saying to us, go and invite them, befriend them, and welcome them. But here's the thing, if we're really to take on board what Jesus is saying, then we need to realize that he's talking about much more than just simply an invite to church, as important as that is. He's inviting people to be part of our lives. Far too often when we think of mission, we think of a great big white tent. Maybe we think of things like the Port Stewart Convention. And we like to think in this way because that means mission becomes someone else's responsibility. Someone will be brought in to run and do the mission for us. But actually, whenever we adopt Jesus' model of going out into the highways and the byways, suddenly it is our responsibility. Our responsibility as a church, but also as individuals. And this is the price of partaking in that heavenly banquet with Jesus. If we're to be part of his heavenly kingdom, then our role in that kingdom is to show this level of love. It's to open up our lives and to give our lives to those who possibly have been left behind, just as Jesus gave his life for us. And that's what we remember now as we come to his table.